Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. I love this time of year. While people in Santiago, Germany and Greece are rioting after May Day demonstrations, we're sitting here in New Zealand sucking up the best of local music and international comedy. On Monday, I went to see UK comedian Carrie Marks. His show, Carriness, discusses the 10 most taboo topics in comedy, and it was so good that the following night I went to see his other show. That was so much fun, I thought we'd have to have a chat to him, and here he is.
I was at a party, I was talking to a science nerd, and he said to me, did you know they've discovered a new planet that could sustain life, and it's 25 million light years away. And then he corrected himself and he said, oh no, sorry, I'm wrong. It's 21 million light years away. Sorry. I'm like, don't you worry yourself. I'll just deduct 4 million light years from the distance I'm picturing in my head.
Well, I'm fortunate enough to have seen both of your shows. I went on Monday to see one and then rocked in on again on a Tuesday. Very impressive. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. And they're quite fun shows to talk about on the radio because there's not one joke from either show I believe is repeatable, is it?
For a number of reasons, probably not. But look, let's talk about, first of all, about your show, Carriness, which you did briefly last year.
Yes.
Here, and then you've brought it back. Now, someone said to me last year, they said, oh, yeah, it's good because it's not really funny. It's a show about comedy. But, of course, it is hilarious. It's hilarious, but it's you sit there and analyse why jokes are offensive, funny.
I'm so glad you added the of course. Of course it's funny. I wouldn't go around doing a show that's not funny. That's totally pointless as a comedian. It's an answer to a woman who complained about the C word once, and all the most common arguments used against stand-up comedy. Stand-up comedy is aimed at women. Stand-up comedy is a load of people saying unnecessary words, etc., etc., are all answered from my point of view over the hours show. It's not something I expect anyone to agree with, although so far everyone has. some people have.
Do you see yourself as pushing the boundaries? Because that's almost the standard thing to say about your shows.
No, do you know what? If anything, not at all. I don't ever sit down writing a joke with the intention of breaking any boundary or to prove anything. I never sit down and think, right, I need a joke that's really going to offend people. I write jokes that are fun, silly. It doesn't matter what they're about. It might be about a banana. I love ridiculous jokes. I've written loads of totally harmless, inoffensive, and in fact quite strange jokes. Yes, there's one's going through my head right now. I'm hesitating to say, but just to prove my point. I was raised by a kangaroo, but I left home. I didn't like living out of someone else's pocket. Okay, totally harmless.
Whimsical.
Whimsical, bit of fun. I was losing at Monopoly, and then I got the get-out-of-jail-free card, so I set the other players' hotels on fire. What are they going to do? all right, harmless. You know, I've written loads of those. I love silly jokes. They're great fun. But amongst silly also comes, you know, into that category, comes jokes that other people find offensive. Now, I think there's people who restrict themselves and say, I'll only laugh at silly jokes. I won't laugh at offensive jokes. And people who laugh at offensive jokes tend to also be able to laugh at the silly, harmless jokes. So therefore, people who like offensive jokes are laughing a lot more than the other people who restrict what their ears are allowed to take in.
Because I am one of those receding men. And all the receding men in this audience will know you get other men come up to you and they're like, mate, you're receding. You should shave it off. That's what I would do. Yeah, well, that's stupid. If you lose a tooth, you wouldn't knock the rest out.
Have you got a standard? I mean, because, say, this week, for example, I made the mistake of repeating one of your jokes and got sort of harangued by someone who basically said, with one line, I had set back the course of gender relations by about 20 years and so on and so forth. Do you have I was a little bit lost with. I sort of went, really? You didn't understand I was being ironic? And, you know, is there a standard the response?
Irony is a very, very delicate instrument. I love irony, but irony is it's so subtle you can get it wrong in the right the wrong way of saying the sentence to the wrong person at the wrong time, slightly wrong atmosphere. Yes, it's very difficult to get right.
Was that the problem? Was that an amateur was using a professional's joke and I didn't have a license for it?
Well, imitation is, of course, a major form of flattery, but at the same time, it's also quite a big compliment when someone uses your joke and it doesn't work for them. Then you know it's not just the joke, it's that you're saying it right.
It's also, I think, in your case, the delivery, isn't it? You've got this slightly pissed persona that
Do you know what? There was one review that came out, and it was a lovely review, but it talked about how drunk I look on stage. He looks drunk, and with his cheeky, nasally mumble, he sounds drunk. But he has a, I think he said it has a, he has a devilish glint in his eye, in brackets, when they open wide enough to see it. Which, and I love that review. That's wonderful. Yes, I do. I have a slight slur and a very slight lisp, but it's a slight speech impediment. But it's only slight. If you listen, I'm handling it quite well. But I have to try hard. And because of that, yes, sometimes I get accused of being drunk and stoned on stage. And the advantage of that is I can be drunk and stoned on stage and no one knows the difference.
Do you find, I mean, it's a very common question here. When anyone comes from overseas, it's a compulsory question in an interview is to ask them what they think of us, because we're that secure in ourselves, you know, what you think of New Zealand. But it strikes me that this week, for example, it was May Day in overseas, yeah. You know, Santiago and Germany and Greece, they had protests, you know, firebombs, riot squads, things like that. We had J Day, where everyone just lights a joint. And
really?
Yeah. Is that what you see of New Zealand, that you come out and things are a lot more chill?
I love this country. You have a J Day? That's brilliant. What, does everyone have to light a joint on J Day?
It's still optional. The government are working on it, but you know. And it also coincides with the launch of New Zealand Music Month. So basically, it's a day about getting stoned and listening to tunes. You know, and then we get the footage from overseas.
And the police kicked in as well with a nationwide sweep of marijuana busts in the days leading up to it, too. Yeah. It was all on.
Yeah,
but so, not enough to stop the day.
No, apparently not. There was still some weed left behind.
But do you see this when you come?
Do you see this when you come to New Zealand that things are just a little bit more chilled here?
A little bit more chilled. When's the last time you've been to London?
A couple of years ago. Yeah.
You know how you make friends in New Zealand? You say hello to someone. It's wonderful, this place. And yes, you have a day where everyone has a joy. That's brilliant.
I actually found it quite interesting. You mentioned the whole mind the gap thing. When I was in London, It was like I felt like I was in George Orwell's 1984. There was always some big voice booming from somewhere telling you what to do or what not to do.
There's a lot of disembodied voices. There's cameras everywhere now. And that's partly what I'm talking about in the other show, the Doom Gloom Boom. There's a feeling of being back in school, I think, back in over in Britain right now. And I'm seeing this kind of attitude spreading around the world, wherever I'm going, and I saw a lot of that in Australia as well. So far, you've managed to avoid it here. I hope you'll stick to your guns. But I hear there's talk of becoming a state of Australia.
Apparently, a vote
of over 50% of people.
I think 24.
I read that whilst I was in Australia, so it might be.
Yeah, I think more Australians were open to the idea than New Zealanders.
All right.
Oddly enough, I think about 25% of New Zealanders said maybe, which I still thought was remarkably high.
Why? What would you get out of it?
Their economy.
Yeah. It's not worth it.
I know.
It's absolutely not worth it.
Well, it's like when they talk about us having a common currency, and what they mean is us having their currency, not like we're going to form some unified currency like the euro. No, it's just us getting rid of our currency and using theirs for a while.
No, keep New Zealand as it is. This is a country that protects flightless, pathetic birds and names itself after them. It's a wonderful place, and I'm getting married here.
On the weekend.
So that's how much I love the place. Came here, brought my woman with me, dragged her.
It is not easy to slip a sleeping kitten into a hollowed out loaf of bread. But it is worth it if you want to really surprise a mouse.
Is the comedy festival, I mean, like, do you get on well with the New Zealand comedians? Are they accepting and open? Is it like one big 2 week sort of party, 3 week party?
So much so. It's almost family, really. The attitude amongst comedians here is wonderful, and particularly considering a lot of places I go where there's not a great deal of work for comedians, it becomes very competitive. But here, no, extremely supportive, and you've got some great local acts as well now, and they're all beginning to do really well. I mean, the gala, I think, was a demonstration of how many strong local acts you've got here now, and I love the support structure as well. You've got the Raw comedy shows and the awards for local acts. So no, absolutely fantastic. In fact, all I can do is sit here and praise things. Yes, love everyone. Well, the island's amazing.
It strikes me, we're talking about economies. It must be quite good for you as a foreign currency earner, the way that the pound is tanking.
I've not even been following it.
No, we buy nearly half a pound now, our dollar. Used to be about 30p.
Wow. Well, that's
you hadn't noticed, because you're getting paid in our currency.
I'm getting paid in your currency, but of course I haven't even had a chance. I've been flying backwards and forwards to Sydney and then back over here and just throwing money at every problem that's coming up.
I was gonna say,
getting
does,
married, yeah. suits, this, that, the other.
That
no
does,
idea.
It does suggest there's actually he's taking any of our currency home.
Well, I will now. I'm going to get bucket loads.
Brilliant. And so...
No, Britain's just going down into a hole, isn't it, slowly? I'm not sure there'll be one left by the time I go back.
So the show that you've, the Doom Gloom Boom show,
yep.
Is that going to be a show that you're going to continue on for a while? Have you got another show that you're working on?
I'm working on another show. By the time I get back to Britain on the 17th, I need a new hour written for the Edinburgh Festival, which is unwritten as yet.
Which would terrify most comedians.
It's ridiculous. It's actually impossible. I've got a couple of weeks to write a new hour of comedy. No, that won't happen.
Whilst getting married.
Whilst getting married, whilst doing two shows here, whilst writing for some radio things and other stuff I'm doing. That's why I look like I'm exploding slowly and about to start tearing myself to pieces.
Because presumably you can't turn up to Edinburgh with the show that you did last year.
No. I think a new show would be expected of me. But I've got a theme for it, which is... about a séance that I ran many years ago at other people's request. Back in my days as a performing magician, I put on a séance which got totally out of hand. We ended up contacting people's relatives that had recently died, or at least as far as they were concerned, and then ended up not being able to talk to anyone afterwards because I couldn't tell them what had happened, and they thought we'd contacted their friends and family. So, yes, it's about one of the biggest messes I've ever created. And I'm sure it's going to be fun to write about.
It sounds fantastic, and hopefully you'll be back here next year to do it for us.
I can't wait. And I'll be back here married, having been married in New Zealand. And, I hope you'll be coming back here for a good few years.
Thank you so much.
I like men like the man right in front of me here. So you have my favourite look. You have a head of hair, you have a beard, and you have a moustache, and you are wearing glasses. I look at you and I think that man has taken every precaution to avoid people doodling on photographs of him.
And Kerry Mark's show, Kerryness, is on this week in Auckland. For more details, check out comedyfestival.co.nz. That's all we've got time for on the show today. If there's something you missed or you'd like to hear again, pop along to our podcast, publicaddress.net/radio. I've been Damien Christie.
And I've been Russell Brown. Thank you. New Zealand on the air.